I'm Carl Ettinger. This is Relocalizing Vermont here on the stations of Goddard College Community Radio. We are going to shift gears now and talk for the rest of the hour about the Governor's Institutes of Vermont. They create fun, accelerated learning residencies on college campuses for Vermont teenagers and high schoolers. They've been doing this long enough that alums now are in leadership roles. One of them is Director Elizabeth Frascosia, and Nicole LaPointe is also going to join us. She serves as Director of the Health and Medicine Institute. So let's begin with Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Elizabeth. Good morning, Carl. So nice to be here.
Yes, so good to have you with us. Why don't you give us an overview of the Governor's Institute?
Oh, I'd be happy to. So the Governor's Institutes of Vermont provides, just as you said, those fun, exciting, supportive learning experiences for Vermont high school students. We've been around for 38 years, and it's true. I actually was a student long, long ago in the 90s. I was a student at the Arts Institute way back then, and actually also the Math Institute, because you can never have too many interests. So we, as you said, are usually on college campuses. Last year due to COVID, and this year we'll be running online immersions, which are, again, transformative experiences, but in a different format. But with that same idea of learning in community, where students get to access folks from across the state, their peers and new mentors, and learning about all kinds of topics that interest them. We run everything from arts to astronomy, engineering, health and medicine. Nicole is here with us. Environmental science, and the list goes on and on.
Well, other than adaptations for the pandemic, have the Governor's Institutes changed all that much since you were in the math and the arts institutes back in the 90s?
I'd say the core is exactly the same. You know, we want to treat students like the young adults that they are, and giving them the power to advance their control of their own educational path and their journey onto whatever they would like to do with their life. I think we give them opportunities to explore career ideas and either accept or discard them, which I think both could be valuable. You know, you might go into the Health and Medicine Institute and find out, oh, this is not what I thought, and it's not the path for me, and that's a really valuable learning experience. And you might find out it's your passion, and you found all the other folks, you know, in nearby towns around Vermont that can be your peers and support you as you, you know, head on to college or medical school or however you're going to take that path.
I want to underline one part of what you just said, because I'm not sure how commonly people think about this, but the importance of discarding possible career paths early. I happened to arrange to work in a college physics lab over the course of the summer between my junior and senior year of high school, and I thought before that, hey, I really want to do physics. But after a summer of doing physics all summer and enjoying it, I realized, yes, I like doing this, but I want to do something more socially, more to change the world, and I wasn't sure that physics would do all that. So that got me on a different career path. And later on in college, I had graduate student friends in physics who were undergoing exactly that same realization, and they'd invested all that extra time in physics.
Exactly.
So I was really grateful to the folks at that lab who let me do it. And when I, you know, circled back and told my main professor there that, then he was perfectly happy that that was the result.
One thing I want to emphasize, Carl, is that, you know, Governor's Institute is for any student who's motivated and passionate about learning. It's not just for someone who's already had the good fortune to have, you know, AP physics in their high school.
Hmm.
I know some high schools can't even offer that. Like, I think Canaan up in the Northeast Kingdom has been partnering with a high school in New Hampshire just to be able to offer AP physics. So, you know, we want to be able to offer those things to students in Vermont, whether or not they've already been able to accomplish something on that journey. If they're interested, it's a place for them.
Well, let's bring in our second guest now, Nicole LaPointe. Nicole, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Carl. It's really good to be here.
Now, you're not an alum of Governor's Institute, I understand.
I am not.
Okay. Well,
I'm the director of the Health and Medicine Institute, and I love working with the youth and with the mentors and with the faculty. It's a blast.
And as director, do you get involved in the teaching?
A little bit, sort of to bookend it.
Uh-huh.
I welcome the students onto campus and work with mentors to help build community, and then get to participate. I get to be the MC for the final projects. So most of the institutes culminate in student presentations of their work, and that is a really exciting thing to be able to preside over as they get to tell their families what they've been doing all week.
Sure. Well, I can tell from my personal experience, just having Governor's Institutes at Goddard College, even though I'm not involved in the teaching, just being around them and helping make sure that everything functions okay, there's a palpable excitement in the air.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the experience of students coming from, a lot of them are coming from rural schools where there might not be, as Elizabeth was saying, an AP course, advanced placement course in the topic they're interested in. They might not have a lot of peers who are as excited about learning as they are. Tell us about their experience coming to one of the GIV programs.
Absolutely. So as Elizabeth said, one of the conditions of learning that we really strive to meet is the development of that community, that learning community. And so the relationship that the students make with one another is incredibly important, and we work hard to foster that all the way through the experience. I can recall a particular student who was so excited, like in the fifth day of the institute, because she had not had the opportunity in her high school to connect with peers who were headed in the same place that she wanted to go, and to be able to share her passion and talk about science, and to just be really excited about a future in a science pathway. In the Health and Medicine Institute, we recruit medical students from the Lerner College of Medicine at UVM to provide mentorship, to be resident assistants, and to do some of the instructing. And the connection with the medical students, too, is life-changing for a lot of these youth who imagine that they would like to go into medicine but haven't had exposure to someone who's path to be able to forecast, this is what your undergraduate program is going to have to look like if you want to get into medical school. This is some of the ways that people work their way through medical school. And the personal stories are always important to be able to build community with someone who's already done that.
We're talking with Nicole Lapointe and Elizabeth Frascoia of the Governor's Institute of Vermont, GIV. If you have been through a GIV program or know somebody who has and how it's changed their lives or not, or have questions about the program, comments, please give us a call here at 802-454-7762. That's 802-454-7762. Well, we're in a pandemic right now. I understand everything has gone online right now, and we can talk a little bit about how you've adapted to that this year. But could you give us a walk through a little bit, Nicole, of if a student comes to one of your GIV programs in health and medicine, what's it like for them?
Sure. So in non-COVID times, we do an 8-day residential program on the campus of Norwich University. and we have the really good fortune of working with their faculty. And so in 2019, we worked with faculty in the Department of Health and Human Performance, Kate Harney and Greg Jankaitis, and they sequenced a series of learning experiences that were just phenomenal. So the students participated in an outdoor mass casualty response scenario, complete with fake blood and the RAs participating as victims, for the students to apply what they had learned in a first aid certification course that they also took, Kate and Greg. And that course built on a hands-on clinical anatomy workshop, which was kind of gruesome but also fun. It explored the physics of bone and joint injuries, specifically sports injuries.
Wow, physics, first aid, anatomy, all put together, applied with blood, victims on the campus of Norwich. That sounds like a really exciting and unusual way to learn for students in the 9th through 12th grade.
It is. The wonderful thing about Governor's Institute is that we can do a really deep dive into academic topics, but it's done in a way that's much more like play and recreation, because the students are the activities are designed to invite the students to come from where they are. They're in different grade levels, so they've had different academic levels of preparation. They work in small teams. They have really good supports from their mentors, and it opens up the relationship between the science content and the application, both in terms of real life, if they decide they don't want to go into health and medicine, but also in terms of planning a career pathway and what speaks to them, and as you had said before, what doors they might decide to shut, because it's not their thing.
Well, let's go back to the director of GIV, Elizabeth Frascoia. Excuse me. How much does this cost for students to participate in?
In a normal year, it can range. We have, in a non-COVID year, when we are on a residential campus and providing experiences with a dorm, you know, experiencing a college campus, the dining hall and the dorm and having a roommate and all that, it's a sliding scale, and it depends on the program, the length of the program, and some of the costs. But for families who can't afford to pay much, it can be all the way down to $10 on our sliding scale.
$10?
This year,
wow.
We have a suggested tuition of $550, but it's pay what you can, because we really know that it's been a tough year for folks. Families have been through a lot of hardships. We know that there's real hunger in Vermont. There's real pain and real unexpected expenses that have come up this year. So it's pay what you can. You want any family, any student who can afford it to be able to attend.
Very good. And what sort of range of students do you have?
Meaning
socioeconomic classes. You've got a sliding scale to make it possible for anybody to attend.
Everything. Any socioeconomic background, any background at all. Any student who's motivated, excited about learning, cares about these topics, wants to explore a new topic, they might not have had access to. For example, we have a technology and design institute, and not every student, I imagine, has been able to work on, microcontrollers and programming in their own high school.
Right. Okay.
One of the things that was really nice about last summer when we had our online immersions, and that was a quick pivot. This year we're all prepped up. We have a little more time to prepare for this summer's immersions. But for some institutes, our directors actually sent out a box, a kit of physical things, because we want to keep that hands-on component to our learning and that interactive component. Now, this isn't just sitting in front of a screen all day in the beautiful summertime. We have some times that are synchronous and on video conferencing with the big group. But then, as Nicole said, folks work in small groups. with our environmental science organization, or institute rather, last year. They had small groups each going out to their own individual streams, testing the water quality in their own stream, feeding the data back to the UVM labs, having it processed, and then presenting that data in conjunction with other students from around the state. So someone in Brattleboro might be working with someone in Grand Isle and presenting together to sort of say, how do we compare our data on our own local streams?
Interesting. It must have been difficult for teaching the collection techniques, or was it just water collection and just scooping something up?
There were strips. They were testing for E. coli and a few other things. So yeah, they went through the techniques online. They did a lot of prep on how to do it, and then I'm sure that they worked through any kinks in that process individually. One thing that's lovely is our faculty is super down to earth and available to students. So if a student needs more, it's up to them to ask. We provide formats for them to ask for that help. But I think it's a great preparation for independent learning later on in life. When you get to college, it's kind of what you get out of it is what you put into it. You have to know to advocate for yourself. So we're sort of trying to help our students learn those skills right away.
How do you teach an arts institute online?
Similarly, we did send home kits. So, for example, we offered a painting class and sent home high-quality paints and materials, and then were able to do the feedback and the techniques with our faculty members live. And then students would go and have basically studio time on their own, and then come back to share and collaborate and critique each other's work. So that's one way. We unfortunately aren't able to offer the things like, wind instruments and choral singing all together, but we will get back to that.
Well, I talked much earlier in the pandemic with an elementary school teacher in Montpelier who teaches arts, and they had on short notice improvised and done something similar to what you described, sending packages home to the students, or rather I think they even dropped them off curbside, and the students were able to do art and share it by whatever technology they were using to share things online. So we have been very flexible in adapting to the pandemic.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, we love hearing what other folks are doing. And I think, this is such an interesting time for anyone offering educational programming. Certainly, we want to support our partners in the school. I think it's been a tough year for students, not having some of those things that they love and care about and might drive them to love going to school. If you're a person who really cares about your math team or really cares about your choral practice or your sports team, what are the things that keep students engaged and excited about school outside of the sort of very core academic subjects? And we obviously want to support those too, but I think there's something that Governors Institutes brings is the ability to go outside of those core topics and then bring that knowledge back to your school and to your community to kind of suffuse it and connect it with, the math and reading that you're going to be required of in school. But, there's actually so much math and engineering, and if you can apply math in this other way, for example, we focus on energy in our engineering institute and a lot of different ways that energy can be applied, that we create energy, that how we use it, and bringing those topics back and being able to reflect back, I think, can really help students and get them excited about learning those core topics because they understand they're going to have applications. Like Nicole was saying, that you start with your first aid or your anatomy fundamentals, and then, oh my gosh, look what you can do. You've got blood on the ground.
Yeah.
Hopefully not real blood.
What has been the effect of the pandemic, if any, on recruitment of students for this summer's GIV programs?
Well, we've just started opening up our application. We just opened up last week. So feeling good. I think Nicole has something to say on that.
Yeah, last year, actually, to chalk it up to another COVID silver lining. Because we were online, there were students who were able to participate in our health and medicine immersion that had not been able to participate in the Institute because they had summer jobs.
Hmm.
So we were able to make accommodation for them and support their engagement in the program, and they were still able to go to their jobs in the afternoons or the evenings. So that was cool to be able to, you know, reach a group of students who wouldn't have otherwise been able to participate.
So wait a minute. They went to their jobs in the afternoons or evenings. That sort of implies that the GIV programs, the teaching was in the mornings. Is that right?
That's how we structured ours, and we were really intentional last year. We wanted to limit the amount of time that students spent in front of a screen. So when we developed the curriculum, we had time that was synchronous on screen in the health and medicine immersion. Students were in small groups with medical student mentors. And then we had other activities that were asynchronous. So the students were using chat applications and working through case studies. They were doing exams and screening tools on members of their household to report back. And then we would have evening events, health career panels, which is something that features in our institutes as well. And being online, we were able to bring Vermont healthcare practitioners in a lot of different fields together for students to meet with them and speak to them. And it was really a boon. I think we learned a lot that we will continue to apply once we're able to be back in person, which is really the ideal, to be able to be with one another and build community together.
Teenagers are notoriously difficult to get out of bed in the morning, especially in the summers. How was it for attendance when you had morning classes?
We had terrific attendance, mm-hmm. I have to tell you. So we didn't start until 10. We went from 10 to noon and then reconvened at around 3 for the afternoon activities, so mm-hmm. kids could be outside during the middle of the day. But I was amazed. We had prepared for significant attrition over the course of the 10-day immersion, and we had all the students but one cross the finish line with us and complete their final project, which is really, I think it's a testament to their mentors and to the commitment that they had to their small groups and their peers.
Hmm. Well, Nicole, you serve as program director of GIV's Health and Medicine Institute, but that's not full-time year-round. You've got a day job in a similar area. Tell us about that and how they interact.
Yeah, I do, Carl. I'm the executive director for the Northern Vermont Area Health Education Center, or AHEC. We're a small non-for-profit. We work as part of a statewide network to support healthcare professionals to explore and join practices in medically underserved communities. So our focus is really on growing our own, supporting young people who come up from medically underserved communities to explore health careers, because what we know from research is that if you're raised in a community that has limited resources, when you become a practicing professional, you're more likely to work in a similar community. So we invest in those students. Medically underserved communities are often also educationally under-resourced. So we support those students with extracurriculars and pathway planning for post-secondary training. And then we also encourage older students, undergrads, medical students, and professionals to explore work in rural communities and to see what the rural healthcare system is like and the benefits that it offers.
Hmm. What's just briefly, it's a little bit off topic, but what is the state of rural health care providers in rural Vermont right now?
So there's a lot of need. There are shortages in nursing. There are shortages in primary care. Both of those areas are particularly important to the area health education centers. But there's also high demands for health professionals across the whole spectrum. So people who work as medical receptionists and people who are phlebotomists who take blood, all the way up through specialists, there's a significant need.
Well, Elizabeth Frescoia, could you tell us if people are listening right now and thinking, hey, I want to get involved in GIV as a student or as a mentor or sending someone I know to GIV or at least directing them to the resources to apply, what should people do?
Oh, thanks for asking. And we're open for applications. So any student who's currently a Vermont resident, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. We can't always accommodate 12th graders, but this year we can offer them the ability to apply because we are online, so we don't have some of the same considerations. So I'd encourage folks to go to giv.org. That's Governors Institutes of Vermont, giv.org. And there's a real clear button right there that says apply now. And it's a simple online application. Involves a couple of references from teachers, but basically some essay questions and showing us that you're interested and passionate about coming to learn in the community of your peers this summer. So we'd love for folks to spread the word. Tell a high school student that you know. I bet someone listening right now has a neighbor or has a nephew or a niece or is a high school student themselves. Maybe you should go back to class, but we'd love to have folks spreading the word.
And we've just got about 1 minute left, but we aren't having mass casualty incidents as exercises at Norwich University this year. What are we doing in terms of some of the big projects for the online Governors Institutes?
Yeah, it really varies from institute to institute. I'll let Nicole answer for health and medicine, but folks should know there's all kinds of things that you can do.
So we're going to be exploring biology and biochemistry. We're going to have at-home lab activities that we're going to send out to students. And one of the big threads throughout the session is going to be learning all the different stages of patient interviewing and working on patient case studies with medical student mentors.
Sounds fun. This is the Governors Institute of Vermont, GIV.org. We've been talking with Nicole Lapointe. She serves as the program director for the Health and Medicine Institute. And serving as director of the whole shebang is Elizabeth Frescoia, who's also an alum of some of the institutes in arts and math from the 90s. Elizabeth and Nicole, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Carl.
Thanks, Carl. It was a pleasure.